Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another broadcast of Something for the Fellas with your host, Curtis Taylor Sr. Something for the Fellas is an innovative, thought-provoking show geared toward the upliftment, encouragement, and renewal of the African-American male. However, all are welcome, regardless of race, creed, or gender. And now, get ready. Here's your host, Mr. Curtis Taylor Sr.
To tonight's broadcast of Something for the Fella, featuring myself, yours truly, Curtis Taylor Sr., your host. I'm glad everyone is tuning in tonight on this first premiere broadcast of my second season. I just want to take this time before I go any further to thank God for another day and another opportunity to present this format to you all. And also, another thing I want to do before I take it any further is to thank everyone that supported myself and Something for the Fellas last season, either by the radio version or the TV version. I want you guys to all know that I'm deeply appreciative. I'll be eternally grateful for it, and I'm definitely humbled by it all. So what I've decided to do tonight on this broadcast is basically I'm here located at More Than a Haircut. It is a barbershop where I get my haircut, where my son gets his haircut. And a lot of people that's familiar with the Decatur, Alabama area can attest to that fact as well. And as my guest for tonight, I have hand-selected a few individuals that I feel will be able to join with me on this broadcast and help me carry it through. So, again, this is the Season 2 premiere, and our topic is going to be 2015 State of Affairs from the Man's Perspective. With that being said, I'm going to have my featured panelists that are going to be on tonight's broadcast with me. None other than Mr. Tyrone Taylor, as well as Mr. Jordan Trent Scott, Mr. Jermaine Reynolds, and actually I'm going to have my big brother in the game, Mr. Tony Stallings, who's the soul of America Radio. He'll definitely be joining in with us as well. So what we're going to do, I'm going to pause and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and get into the broadcast. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for joining in, and I appreciate it all and hope you'll continue to support. Be right back.
What is that, Biggie?
What I'm going to do real quick, I got, let me see, I'm sure I got my big brother on the line. Tony Stallings, are you there, sir?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Curtis?
Oh, man, doing good, man. Glad you can join us on this season 2. All right, okay, I got Tony and let me make sure I got everybody in on the line. Jermaine, I got you, bro.
Yeah, you got me.
Outstanding. We got this Jermaine Reynolds. Mr. Tyrone Taylor.
Yes, that be me.
Outstanding. We got Mr. Tyrone Taylor and Mr. Jordan Trent Scott.
Yeah, I'm there.
Outstanding. Well, Tony, the guys that I just asked to give a brief introduction for themselves, I'm kind of glad and honored to have them on tonight's broadcast. I feel that I really hand-selected these gentlemen because I feel that, you know, they will be able to carry their own weight, so to speak, on the broadcast and especially dealing with this type of topic. And as you know, Tony, yourself being my big brother and mentor in the game, you know how we do when we do our broadcast. So basically, with this premiering the topic that I selected, you know, this by the year 2015 in the state of affairs from the man's perspective. You know, it's a brand new year when we're still in the month of January, and we are all well aware of all the things that have taken place in our nation, in our society, in our local communities, and in our states, and things of that nature. Only if you want to take it back to the not guilty verdict of George Zimmerman during the death of Trayvon Martin, up to the more recent and current events of the killing of Eric Garner in New York, as well as the shooting of Michael Brown, the young man, Tamir Price, that was also killed by police. But we're not going to really harp on those things because everybody is, you know, well aware of everything that's taking place. But what we want to do on tonight's format is try to come up with possible solutions and things that need to take place and steps that need to be taken and implemented on how we can go from here. So, Tony, with that being said, I'll let you go ahead first and give me your thoughts on this real quick.
You talking to me, Tony?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, yeah, man, first of all, thank you for coming on the show, man. I've always loved this show. You've done a great job, Curtis. I'm proud of you, brother, man. You have come a long way. I remember your first show, and here you are, man. I mean, you pretty much missed the Oprah Winfrey status now, so I'm proud of you, bro. You've done a great job, man, and you really opened up the ball game and the playing field for the black male, and I'm grateful, man, for that. And so, you know, I try to tell everybody about this show, man, so we can, you know, get that education out there. And as you know, Curtis, man, we've done shows on this kind of thing, man, countless numbers. And I know it's in your heart, brother. I know you care. I know it's something that's close to your heart, man. And you know probably by now that it's something that's in mine as well. You know, as you were talking about the state of the black man, I was reflecting back on something even a little more profound than that. And I wanted, before I got into it, I wanted to have your permission to kind of, it's on topic, but then again, it's kind of a little different. What I wanted to say first was, foremost in anything, something that was brought to my attention yesterday. And while the world is looking at what happened in Paris, which was a tragic event, okay? On the other hand, you've got in Africa, where they're predominantly black, all black, you've got a group called Boko Haram that has killed, I mean, wiped out entire cities. They strapping bombs to little girls, blowing them up. And it's not getting the same kind of attention. It's not getting the same kind of promotion that they're getting over in Paris. Not to say that it's any less. I think 17 died. Any person that dies is too many. But we're not getting the same kind of attention. Well, I say that to correlate to what you're talking about tonight. I think that the black male overall, and I got three boys. And I tell them all, you need to be educated. You need to be taught. You need to understand where you are and what's going on. And just like they're not giving the type of attention to the mass killings of people of color over in Africa, they're giving attention to it here, but on a different light. In other words, I think that part of the solution is realizing what's really going on, realizing the fact that, let's be honest, fellas, and that's why I like something for the fellas. I can just say it like I feel it. We got an X on our chest. We have a target on our chest as black males. 18 to 29 is the red X target. So what I do to stay in line with the topic, Curtis, I sit my kids down. I have a 29-year-old. I might be 28. I'm getting old. I've got a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old. I tell them, look here, when you confront a law enforcement officer or anyone else, you want to go ahead and comply and then go through the proper channels to get your voice heard. So to start off, and I don't want to take up too much time, I'm going to be brief, I think the first thing we need to do, Curtis, is to educate these young black males on how to deal with the police officers, how to deal with each other, because, you know, we kill each other more than the police officers kill us. But we need to educate them on how to go about your daily life as a black male. It's not easy, brother. Everybody on this panel knows it's not. We don't get trust from our peers, and we don't get trust from law enforcement. And, man, little panels like this, Curtis, what you're putting together tonight, this is all we got sometimes. So I'm going to be brief, and I'm going to say that sit your kids down. Sit your boys down and your girls down, too, but sit your males down and tell them, look, because you're black, you are more than likely going to be singled out. But your reaction will determine if you're in a street with blood, or if you can go to court, or if you can go to some type of supervisory entity and get it worked out. I think the most important thing, Curtis, is education.
You know, Tony, you said something that was really key. To piggyback off you said about education, the one adjective that I like to use is awareness. We have to be aware of what's going on in our everyday lives, in our everyday environment, and definitely in our society. With that being said, that's why on this panel, I chose a real diverse panel. I have myself, yourself, of course, Mr. Tyrone Taylor, Jordan Prescott, also known as Swag, and my brother, Mr. Jermaine Reynolds, over here. And the reason why I selected these individuals is because it's diverse. We all of us are fathers, and with the exception of one that has aspirations to become a father at some point in life when he feels that he's ready to do so. But he's to be his young age, you know, I come to the barber shop faithfully every weekend, myself and Lil Kurt, and I just sit back and I watch and I observe. I watch this young man's mannerisms and the way he conducts himself, and it impressed me because it's such a lack of young men that are willing to do so. You know, you got the majority of these men that they're not really willing to work. They want to follow the status quo, walking around nappy heads, pants sagging and things of that nature. But I really commend that young man, and I tell him that not only because I got him on the broadcast, but just that's how he conducts himself. And, you know, like I said, the way we got this diversity, myself, we got Jermaine, we got Jordan, we got yourself, we got Ty. And what I'm going to do is to go along with that awareness key, I'm going to go ahead and ask Jermaine. I'm going to pose the same question to my boy Jermaine. And basically all I'm going to do is be a moderator tonight. I will chime in and give my opinion every once in a while or so. But, Jermaine, I'm going to go ahead and give the mic to you, so to speak, and tell me how you feel correlated to that same issue.
Thank you again, Kurt, for giving me this opportunity to be with you tonight. I think you hit the nail on the head when you say that it's all about awareness, education. You know, the good book says that our people perish for the lack of knowledge. So, you know, if we don't have the knowledge, we don't have what is key to making out here in this world, man. You know, and I think that it first starts at home. You know, most African American homes that I know of, the father was absent. So left the mother to raise the boys. And not saying that mama didn't do a good job, but a woman cannot raise a man to be a man. So I think at this point, we would need to step up as men and be the heads of our homes that we have been commissioned to do, and to teach our young men, to be respectable young men of integrity, men of valor. And I think this is what we need to do at this point in time in our society.
Right. Man, that was outstanding, Jermaine. Those words you just said, they were so profound. And you can just tell by the reflection in your voice that they came from a most inner part of your sincere being, and you can just hear that. But so what I want to do now, because I got Swag, and I chose Swag Jordan Scott to be on it because of his level of maturity. So, Swag, I'm gonna go ahead and let you expound on it as well. Go ahead, brother.
I say it all started at home. It started at home with the parents, and like Brother Tim was saying earlier, showing love from your parents, that show you a lot. Because coming up, like, my dad worked a lot. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him, but my mom showed me the love and more so what a man should be to me. Because men nowadays, they heartless. They hide their emotions. They run from love. And that's the key that we missing in order for us to be who we need to be. And that's really the basis of it to me, is just start at home.
Outstanding. Man, those some great words. That I knew I was picking you. I feel like I knew in my heart that I was making the right selection by choosing you to be on this panel. I mean, just your maturity and the wisdom of the words that you just said. I mean, I'm sold on you, brother. All right, Mr. Tyrone Taylor, if you would, sir, go ahead and expound on that as well.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks, Curtis, for having me on this broadcast. Really, this is a great broadcast to get the word out, the knowledge out to not only the youth but to the adults as well. And a situation like this, that's the reason why I like the barbershop, because I believe as intelligent barbers as we are in here, me, my coworker Swag, and the rest of us, we give knowledge to the, not only to the youth but to the adults. And really, when you're dealing with the youth need a role model. And as Swag was just said about, it starts at home, it do start at the house. Because if we don't have that knowledge or love at the house or respect in the house, how will we do towards other people? We won't show them no love or respect, especially to the law enforcement, to our school teachers, to our elders, to no one, because that was never taught to us in our own home. So I believe as people with small businesses, people had to come in and gather as a barbershop, we should get the word out, have a place where knowledge can be brought to the forefront to help people, not just a place come out that they hang out as most barbershops is being stereotyped as a place of hanging out, drugs and all that. No, we need a place where just to be real, we can just keep real what black people can come and socialize by helping one another, strengthening one another, especially our youth, because youth is the future. And right now, where I see the youth head, I see them heading down here. The ones that's supposed to have our head on right, don't show no love to them. And try to help them get to that path that they need to get to. And, Curtis, you were saying something earlier dealing with the, you know, about the Trayvon and that situation. I give my complete condolences to the families out there dealing with that. But a lack of knowledge. I mean, without this knowledge, man, we should perish in everything that we do. We need that key. The key is knowledge. And where are we going to get that knowledge from? Either from the street or we're going to get that knowledge from home. I think as leaders, as we are, we should give our kids this knowledge. And that knowledge is to respect one another's property. Love. Show love. Because, you know, man, the world that we're living in now today, man, I see it going, hey, I don't know what it is. If people like us don't stay up. Mr. Curtis.
Most definitely, Ty. You know, as I was sitting here listening, I listened to Jermaine and I listened to Swag and I listened to you. And another reason that I chose the barbershop, because if we look at it historically, and I'm sure, Tony, you will agree with me when I say this, if we look at it historically, the barbershop has basically been the method, so to speak, for the black man. I mean, regardless of whether you work a 40-hour week or whatever you do in your career, whatever your usual vocation is or whatever the case may be, The barbershop throughout the history has been a gathering place where all men come together, bring their sons and things of that nature. And it should be a place where maybe if you want to air out certain stuff that is taking place, what you're doing the week, or if you just want to keep abreast on sporting events, or just want to have casual conversations. And, you know, the one thing that I commend Tyrone Taylor about at this barbershop more than a haircut, it's such a family atmosphere. You know how, Tony, and I'm going to bring you in on this, how you can go to several barbershops, and I'm not calling nobody else's barbershop out by no means, or disrespecting nobody else's place of business. But this is so much more like a family atmosphere. It's like you can actually bring your son in here and leave and don't have to worry about some foolishness happening, some drugs being sold, police running up in there, a lot of vulgarness and profanity. I mean, Ty, not to put Ty on blasphemy like that, Ty even got a cuss jar up in here. Well, if somebody even slip up and say a cuss word, they got to put a dollar in the jar. And I'm guilty. I slipped up and said the D word one time, and I had to put a dollar in the jar. So I can talk about me better than anybody else. But the stuff that the thoughts and the comments that you guys brought forth were definitely needed. And we got to have so much of a camaraderie where we don't just include our own, but we have to be willing to accept others as well. Because it's something that Jermaine alluded to earlier that, as sad as it is to say, it's a true fact that there's so many households that come from a single parent household. And I give many shouts out to single mothers that have held it down. I can name so many of them. I'm looking across the aisle from me right now. She's not going to speak, but I can commend her on the job that she's done with her two boys as well as her daughter, you know. And that's a full-time job, being a parent, but even more so being a single parent. So what I want to do with this season, Something for the Fellas, is to bring it back to, man, we need to step back up. We need to, as Jermaine alluded to earlier, take back our rightful places, not only within our homes, but be committed to help out with the other homes as well. Not saying that you're going to go and take charge and dictate what happened in somebody else's house, but if there's especially if there's a male child in that house who doesn't have no one else to go to that's a positive role model, then we as real men, especially black men, should be willing to stand up and stand in the gap, so to speak, for the individuals that don't have that individual in their lives.
That's right.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, and, man, it's been so much good stuff said tonight, man. And I did not apologize when I first came on. I want to say hello to everybody on the panel. It was rude of me just to start talking. Also, I was listening to everybody talk, man. Everybody, Curtis, you got a good group of a panel tonight. It's balanced. It's got some young voices. It's got me. I'm older. I wanted to say this also, man. Listening to everybody talk, we shouldn't forget ourselves either. And I don't mean to. I just feel like we got to do the youth. But then again, man, if we don't lift each other up as older black men, as older brothers, as older cousins, as fathers, as uncles, if we don't lift each other up first, pull each other up, educate each other on how to deal with the youth, and that's something my brother said a while ago with the barbershop. You found a lot of wisdom in there. You found a lot of my barber here in Birmingham is a 77-year-old gentleman. I've been going to get my hair cut since 87 from him. And he gives me much wisdom. He gives me a lot of knowledge. I feel like I can talk to him sort of like a father. And I think that that's part of what we should do as well. I lift up you, Curtis. You lift me up. I should be able to come to you and say, hey, man, I got this going on. What do you think I need to do? I heard a younger brother on the panel. I might not be aware of some of the things out there, and I might be able to go to him and say, hey, man, I'm dealing with this with my kids. What do you know about that? So I would like to see us become very approachable, man. More, you know, men tend to withhold emotions and don't really want to let each other know, you know, I need to reach out.
Women really don't have that problem, but as men, we sort of hold it in. And I think it'll be a good example to the youth if they see us, the older people, the mature people, the uncles, the older cousins, coming together in venues like this, and setting a great example for them.
Exactly, Tony. And just to piggyback off of that, if I can expand on that a little bit, what I think is that, and this is just totally my opinion, what I'm about to say, is that we got to get rid of I. You know, me and Tyler having this conversation a couple of weeks ago, we got eye problems. And I'm not talking about the physical eye of your body. We got to take the word, the single letter I, out of the equation, and it got to start being more about we and us.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, a form of togetherness. Because, I mean, a wise person once told me, and I use this analogy so much, you can pretend to care, but you can't pretend to show up.
Absolutely. Mm.
So with that being said, it's enough of us that's out here. If we really are committed to doing it, it shouldn't matter what role Jermaine plays or what role Curtis plays or what role Swag or Ty plays. And, you know, when you alluded to Swag, you hit the nail on the head, because I was going to bring that point up next. That's another reason I chose him, because he can relate to the younger male generation because of him being a younger male, and he's still in tune with his outside ventures he got, because he's in the music industry and things of that nature. So he keeps his ear to the street, so to speak, and keeps abreast of what's going on and things of that nature. And I see Jermaine was over there just shaking his head, and I'm about to go ahead and let him expound on that, and then I'm going to hit Swag up here in a second. Go ahead, Jermaine.
What you want me to expound on,
brother? Bro, I see you shaking your head. Look like you're ready to say something, Doc.
This is pretty much, you know, I hear, you know, everybody saying that we need to come together and help each other. And, you know, I never really understood why, as men, you know, we are so hard to the point where we can't show love. And, you know, I was 30 years old, man, before I heard my dad tell me that he loved me. So for 30 years, I walked around here, and I never heard my dad say, man, I love you, or hug me. You know, yeah, the money was there, you know, but I needed that time with my dad. And that was on my wedding day. And everybody was thinking that I was crying because I was married a beautiful bride. But I was actually crying because my dad had told me that he loved me and he hugged me. And now with my boys, it's not a day that goes by that I don't tell them that I love them. You know, it ain't a day that goes by that I don't put my arms around them and say, hey, man, I'm here for you. And I think this is what these teenagers are looking for out here. They're looking for, you know, someone to really show that they care. Hey, yeah, you say you care, but, hey, it's time to put up, show me something. And it's not about whose child it is. It's not about who it is. It's about us coming together, banding together as brothers and doing the things that we know we should be doing.
Amen.
You know, and it's all about transparency. You know, if I'm having problems in my life, I should be able to come to another brother and say, man, I messed up. Can you pray with me? Can you give me some advice to help me through this season? And not have to worry about that man trying to backdoor me to get what I got. If that makes sense.
That's good.
Perfect sense, bro. Perfect sense.
That's good.
And then, if I can get back to Swag real quick, and then I'm going to get back to Ty. Swag, now I see, like, even on a weekly basis or a weekend basis and things of that nature, how you appeal to the younger clientele as far as, I would say, the age ranges of 18 to 25. You know, how does your interaction with that age or peer group help you as far as instilling the positive things into them? Swag? Swag must be on another line. But anyway, we're going to keep it moving. he'll be back on here shortly. But anyway, hey, man, back to what you were saying, Jermaine, that was so profound. But the thing about it is we gotta, like you said, practice what we preach. You know, we can give a long out, I have a dream speech and things of that nature, but if we're not going to apply it to our lives, then we ain't doing nothing but giving lip service. Or like old folks say, you ain't doing nothing but making the air stink.
Absolutely. So where did that start, Kurt?
In my opinion, all it takes is for one individual to be willing to step forward, regardless of what's going to be said, what might transpire, whatever the case may be, and to be sincere about it when he steps forward, and then to get like-minded men like him to side with him, to go along with that program, and you just start a snowball effect. That's just like I told a young man, I asked him to do me a favor because, you know, I saw that he had a lot of influence about his peers at school, and he liked to wear his pants sagging and things of that nature because anybody can make a difference, regardless of age, creed, gender, whatever the case may be. I'm like, do me a favor, man. I'll give you $5. I'll give you $10 if you just go to school with a belt on for 1 week, Monday through Friday. But what I want you to do is when you got that belt on, watch how many of your boys wear their belts. And he came to me, he's like, you know what, Mr. Curtis, you're right. I say, see the type of influence you have? So it can take the least little child up to the grownest adult that is out there. As long as we're together with this thing, it doesn't matter.
That's good right there.
Go ahead, Todd. Go ahead and speak on it, brother.
I was just listening to what you were saying about the young guy. Dealing with the sagging. And I think the young generation is coming up with this sagging. They think this is what's hip because you have a lot of older guys that's my age that's doing it. And they think it's all right. And me personally, it's not all right to disrespect someone else, but yourself as well. Because I know one thing, you can't go in front of anyone looking for a decent job with your soul sagging. And then some of us, like you said about how he can be a role model, somebody always watching, somebody always looking at you. And I tell my kids all the time, never be a follower, always be a leader. Because what I'm teaching you is leader skills. And these leader skills is coming directly biblical. So that I know I'm teaching you right. So that's how I want you to live. So somebody else can see it. Hey, listen here. I love the way things is going on in your household. Why is things happening out there in your household? Because not only both parents are there, it's showing love in their household. They're showing discipline in the household. Because, see, a lot of times you talk about these kids ain't being disciplined. You know, they got the thing out now about can't whoop your kids. Or it might be a certain way you can whoop. But if your child got in the back of his girl, his mind that I can do this and I'm not going to get punished for it, guess what? They're going to do it. Because now you can't whoop them. Hey, everything's free. It's a free fall. We can do anything. But I say that, you know, not to beat your child, but your child, every child that does wrong needs just to, you know, it's anybody's child. That's why when they come into the barbershop and someone leave their child there, oh, I'm not like going to pull a switch or belt, something like that out, but I'm just going to, hey, now you know if your parent will say you can do that. You know what I'm saying? Because the word of God says it takes a village to raise kids. We all got to come together and raise not only our own child, but other folks' children. Help them out. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody needs some help. Kurt was saying about dealing with this one woman with the kids her own and single mom. So men come in, I ain't got to date you or go with you to help take care of your child. Tell your child, hey, that's wrong. And you know if your mom was here. You know what I'm saying? We all got to come together, especially as a black culture. Earlier we were talking about like crabs in the bus. Never want to see the next man make it. Before I see you make it, guess what? I'm going to pull you down. You man, you know, we were talking about that. Get with your beer. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to, you know, the next man might be better, but I don't want to see you man make it. So I ain't going to promote. I ain't going to buy nothing from it. You know, this program that Kirk got, it's so good because it can touch a lot of things. It can touch a lot of topics because anything goes. You know, you can speak on anything. And that's what we need. We need not only to speak on it, but we need to be about what we speak about. You know, and we speaking on heaven, we need to. You know? Because I love when the young teens come in here and I can listen to their problem. And then if I don't have an answer, guess what? If somebody in this barbershop can get them out. You know what I'm saying?
And that's exactly why I chose the setting for tonight's broadcast. Because even though it's just us in here, as I'm doing this live remote, and we got Tony calling in, he's out there via Birmingham. You know, we even with us four men in here within these walls, we come together with the collectiveness to expound on each other's ideas to bring forth more information. You know, it might be something that Jermaine can touch upon that I might not be aware of or clueless of, or same with Ty, or same with Swag, or even Tony on the other line, all the way in Birmingham. So it's definitely, it's almost like, it's almost easier said than done. Again, we got to get self out of the way, you know, and really be sincere about this thing. And like I said, when Jermaine posed a question to me earlier, if we can all just come together and stop all this divisiveness between our own selves, just imagine what type of powerful force that we can become. Starting at the house, bringing it out to the community, start from a local level to a state level. I mean, we can snowball this thing to not only a nationwide level, but to a world level.
You said something.
Say it, my boy.
You know, go ahead, Tony. Go ahead and speak on it, bro.
Well, I pretty much agree. And as the brother was talking, I remembered here in Birmingham, and I alluded to this a little earlier. Pardon me if you hear of silence. Dealing with a little bit of a cough, and I got a mute button, so you might hear it from time to time. But I remember we were getting a haircut in a barbershop here. Well, my barber I've been going to a while, and a young brother walked in to get his haircut. And he smelled like marijuana, a pound. I mean, it smelled like, I mean, the whole place lit up. And my barber knew the guy from the community. And he took it upon himself to casually talk to him about it. Another incident when a young man had gotten into a fight in front of the barbershop, and a couple of guys ran in after him. He was bloodied, and my barber protected him there until the guys left and let him sit there and get himself together, helped him, you know. He didn't call the police because he was afraid that the guy had warrants or something. He knew the guy from the community. But on this guy that had the marijuana, he took it upon himself to put him to the side and talk to him about it. Pretty much from the standpoint of, you know, you go out in the community like this, it's not a good example for younger children and so forth. I don't know if it helped. But it's just good, man, to have panels like this, to have a place to go to like that, as well as the other brother said, I think it was Swag said, it, being at home. I'm beginning to see a resurgence, you know, in the way we're doing things. We really need to put a lot of emphasis on this, man, because you know, to have a place where you go into and somebody approaches you and says, hey, man, this isn't cool. You know, you smell it like weed, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people won't say nothing. And for rightly so,
right,
these days, you gotta be careful. But a lot of people won't say nothing. But he knew the guy. A lot of people, if he saw somebody getting beat down in front of his residence or business, would have closed his door or locked it or whatever. He took this brother in and helped him out until he was able to find somebody to come get him. And I think that our actions, I guess the point I'm making is, I think, Curtis, you said this a while ago, it's ultimately what we do. It's ultimately how we carry ourselves. It's ultimately, at the end of the day, you look back and say, I reached out and I did something for my community, and whether it's a youth or older person. But the thing that sticks out in my mind, Curtis, because you're a former law enforcement, as I am, in the city of Birmingham, is that 16 to 29, they're killed more than any race of people. When I say race, I don't mean necessarily color. I mean one of like comparison. They're killed by handguns more than any other group of people. And I don't mean to sound like I'm rambling, I'm going somewhere. We've got to figure out what's going on. We got to figure out how we can change it. And I think it starts with communication. And that's where I'm going with this. I think that the communication tonight is good. We really need to have more of these, Curtis. I'm going to take this show, and once it comes out, recorded and so forth, and I'm going to promote it as well, because we really got to communicate, man. We really got to open up. One more thing I'm going to say before I move on. It was kind of interesting to me. I learned something from a younger brother. They were discussing letting their kids hear certain music. In this case, it was girls, little girls, listening to Beyonce. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what's wrong with that? And then they told me about a song called Surfboard. And to me, in my mind, I'm 50 years old. I'm thinking surfboard, you know, get on a surfboard.
Yeah.
He said, no, brother, that's not what that means. I said, well, what do you mean it's not what it means? When he explained to me what it meant, I said, man, you know what? I wouldn't have known had I not communicated with this brother. Now I can go to my 14-year-old and I can say, look, you know, you need to, you know, be more aware of your choice of music and so forth. So I said that on the end to kind of piggyback the fact that communication is very important.
And not to cut you off, but communication is the key.
Amen.
I mean, it really
Amen.
Is. There was one of the reasons why I started a barbershop business, not just for financial reasons, but to give back to the community. In other words, you know, you don't have to give back to the community in money, but you can give back to the community in knowledge. And that barbershop is a perfect spot for knowledge, for people to grow. You know what I'm saying? The guys that I got working inside the shop, I got different guys with different personalities. But we all got one key. The name of the barbershop is More Than a Haircut, because you're going to get more than a haircut. We're going to tell you what's right. We're going to try to help you. Ain't nobody in here to try to teach you to do what's wrong out there in society. You know, I used to go to a barbershop when I was growing up. I used to watch the old men come in there and sit and discuss things. And, you know, knowledge was being played out daily. And I always say in the back of my mind, man, that's why I want a barbershop. And I thank God for blessing me with one. I thank God for the fellas that come in here. I thank God for the ones who work with me, because they all have a role to play in this system that we are dealt in. And the role is that we should help one another. And it starts, like I say, it starts at home. But let me tell you something. If you don't love yourself, you can't love no one else.
That's true. Amen.
You got to love yourself to show love to other people. And And what that barber, your barber did earlier, that was showing compassion for other people. He's a compassionate barber. I can tell when you speak about it. He is compassionate. And you got to have that type of heart to have compassion for other people to want to help someone else. You don't want to see people that's laying down and you keep them down. You want to see someone that's laying down and lift them back up. You know, and I think that was going on now. This world is, Curtis said, get the eye out. A lot of people are just concerned about themselves. And which, you know, if that's what you choose to do, hey. But one day you might need some help. So why not help someone else? You know what I'm saying? It don't cost you a dime to get somebody else a word of encouragement, a word that would help them go on out through the day. You know, like you said about your barber, I had an incident where a guy came in, was finna get beat down. I allowed him to come in, even paid the guy the debt off so it wouldn't be no confusion. And everybody said, why would you do something like that? And I was letting them know that, listen here, that's what we're here for. I ain't here to see someone get whooped. We shouldn't have a mentality that we want to see somebody get beat down, get cussed out, a mentality that we want to see a girl get gang raped and think, oh, man, she deserves it. We shouldn't have, you know, I listen to all these people every day. They talk about different things. We should have that mentality that we want to see somebody get beaten, you know.
Right.
This Facebook. Facebook can be great, but Facebook also can be a curse to people because I see so many fights of people getting beat down on Facebook, girls getting jumped on and stuff like that. Who would stand around and watch somebody get beat down that has a conscience? Who would stand around and watch a girl get raped and just film and then place it out there? See, you see where this world is going? That's why I said this program that Kirk got going on is great because you're going to get the knowledge out of the people. That you have some people that do care, you know. And kids, you need to know that we got some people that do care about us, that want to see us make it, that want to see us strive for perfection, to get greater than what we already are, you know. And they need guys like us. Women like us that say, I'm not going to lower my standard to be with a man just to take care of me. I can take care of myself and raise my kids with the help of my family and friends that I don't have to, you know, lower my standard. You know, like I said, we need to come together. And like I said, I always say it, we need to come together as a community to help one another. Then a lot of stuff that be transcribed won't happen. To our youth, you know what I'm saying? And not just the youth, helping our adults, because there's a lot of people that my age need help.
That's true. Like you said, Ty, when it starts, you talking about it start with self. It's real important because being out here and following up on my brother and all of his friends, you know, I was led wrong. It goes back to home because, like, my dad was led wrong. His dad was led wrong, so I'm trying to be that chain to break it. But at the same time, man, it's real hard because being in the youth, like, it's different from what it was back then when y'all was growing up. It's a lot worse. So for me to try to let my light shine, it's real hard because everybody's always trying to dim it. You know what I'm saying? But with people who come up here in certain situations that, you know, they might need help or need some guidance, I use that as motivation to keep me going, you know what I'm saying? It gives me a purpose in life. And, you know, like you said, Ty Curtis, this needs to be worldwide because not only is it teaching me, y'all teaching me, I get knowledge from Ty every day. I thank God for Ty every day because he's a man of God, and I never had a man of God in my household. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying my dad is not a man of God, but, you know, he don't read the Bible. He don't go to church like that, you know. But for somebody to instill something in me that everybody should have that spirituality, like with Ty, we can talk about normal things just as real as things in the Bible. And I always come to him, and sometimes I'm sure I'll be teaching him something or make him look at it a different way.
Right, you do.
It's like the conversation, you know, it takes that to make change or make anything happen.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let Jermaine jump in on this thing. Go ahead, brother.
Well, Flash said something that was very profound. He was talking about his dad had certain things going on. And we were talking about it earlier. There's such a thing called a generational curse.
That's right.
Okay? And with that curse can go down 3 to 4 generations. And a lot of times we can be dealing with some things and don't understand why we're dealing with it. It could have been our great-great-granddad that had the same problem.
Yeah.
But here's the beautiful thing about this thing called grace. We can say that the ball stops here with us. That it's not going to affect us any longer.
Amen.
It's not going to affect my children any longer. It's not going to affect their children any longer. But we as men, we got to get our identity back and walk in our God-given purpose. Me growing up, I understood that a man was supposed to have something in his hands that everybody wanted. And had to be walking around here with several different women and had a wife at home and had opposite girlfriends. So that was the definition of a man, in my opinion, before I really found out what a true man was all about. You know, so these are the things that we have to teach our kids. It's not about how many women that you can get, how much money you got, how much culture you got in you, but what are you going to do to be that true man of God?
That's right.
You know, and I really think, you know, that God is raising up men in his last days.
Yes.
And we don't have a heart for his people.
His army.
You know, that want to see people grow, want to see families healed. And that's where I am right now.
What I'm going to do, and Jermaine, oh my God, those words were so profound that you just said, and I appreciate you for that, brother. But what I'm going to do, man, this hour that went by so fast. I'm gonna start with Flag, and then I'm gonna go ahead and hit Ty, and then Jermaine, and then Tony, and then myself. We're going, if you would just take a minute to have some closing remarks.
Well, I just say keep God first. If you don't know God, get to know him, and you know, just spread joy and charity wherever you go to. Lend that helping hand, be that change that you want to see the change in the world. You got to be there first.
That's
good
all
word, young brother. Go ahead, Ty.
Man, I don't know what can I say after that word right there, what Jordan just said. But he said something so key, God first. And God shall direct your path. What Jordan said was so great. I just encourage everyone to not only keep God first, but get with a positive people. Know your circle, who your circle is. When you know who your circle is, it can determine where you'll go. And I think once you do know that, man, the limit is no limit on what you can do.
Good word, Doc. Good word. All right, Jermaine, go ahead, brother.
All I got to say, man, is power and unity. And I think that if we all come together on one accord, it's something about one accord that God honors. And we as black men, if we can just get on one accord, we can shake this whole nation.
Outstanding. Go ahead, Tony.
I just want to say to everybody, man, including encourage yourself. You know, the Bible speaks about David encouraging himself in the Lord. I heard a brother say, yes, man, to go is hard out there. It's hard. That stuck in my head when he said that. Look, all of us, man, keep your faith. It looks dark. It looks gloomy. It don't look good sometimes. But as in the Bible, man, it always comes out on top when you keep God first. So keep your head up. Keep your backs against the winds of life.
Amen.
Man, it's awesome.
And I guess that leaves me. And I guess I'll just end it by saying it's a word that we all agreed that was key to making this thing happen, or at least starting to make this happen, and that was communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is not only the key in order for this to succeed. But I'm going to throw one more thing in there. Not only can we be using that communication thing, but let's brush up on that listening thing as also.
Amen.
We've got to be able to listen as well as communicate.
Because
if you put those two together, then you got something powerful for real. But we got about 3 minutes left. What I want to do, man, starting with Jermaine, to Swag, to Ty, my big brother Tony up there in Birmingham, man, from the bottom of my heart, I'm eternally grateful to you guys. Season 2 premiere, something for the fellas. I'm glad I chose this venue. I'm glad I chose the panelists that I got. And like I said, and the reason I, piggybacking off of what I said earlier, the reason I chose these guys is first and foremost is because I know all of you. I know all of you guys' character. I see the potential of what you could be that you're not already. And that goes for myself as well. So that's why I chose all of you, man. I love all of you guys for being here with me tonight. And, oh, my God, I'm definitely going to rebroadcast this. And all of my, especially all we all Facebook friends and everything, people could go to your page and tag the show and they can listen to it from start to finish. So, again, I just want to thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Man, no problem.
To, and we definitely going to this group, this panel right here, we're definitely going to do it again. So to all my listeners that's out there listening, whether you're in the chat, and oh, my God, I ain't even opened up the chat room. This thing been so good. But so from future broadcasts, I will have my chat room open for all my listeners that have been live streaming tonight that are going to listen to it later on at your own convenience and things of that nature. I just want to let you know that I appreciate you guys because without the listeners, and if we only have one listener tonight, and if that one listener was touched by something that was said tonight, then we've accomplished our goal.
Amen.
For this broadcast. So with that being said, I love all of you guys. We're going to do this again. To my listening audience, I thank you. I appreciate you for supporting Season 1 of Something for the Fellas, and I ask that you continue to do so for Season 2. We got some good things on the horizon. Things that I'll be expounding about as more broadcasts go forth. But thank you all. And as I always close, let's get it.
Let's get it. Mm-hmm.